My first sales job was selling Encyclopedia Britannicas door to door. They gave me some training, a sales kit, and a couple of neighborhoods. And they said, go bang on doors. Well, that was 1963. And I got more rejection in 1 hour than I'd had in my whole life. I went back to the office after the first day expecting my boss to ask, did you make any sales? But instead, he surprised me. And he said, did you get the kit opened? And I said, yeah, I did, 3 times. And he said, great. Well, here's the lesson. This boss was encouraging me to make progress towards a sale rather than simply make a sale. And that's your challenge. Are you making progress toward a sale? And how do you know? I want you to get my ultimate sales assessment and then take my sales certification. It will help you make the progress that you are hoping for and turn uncertainty into certainty as you go to make a sale. Stop relying on trial and error to make sales. You're going to be amazed at the outcome. Come on, click.
There are millions of women in business that are crushing it. And I mean, seriously, crushing it. Some who you know and many who you've never even heard of. They're going to share how they did it so you can figure out how you can do it too. But here's the deal. It's not just about sales and selling. So I'm going to be bringing you the woo too. Get ready, get set, because it's almost go time for Women Crush Wednesday. All right, everybody, it's go time because our first guest ever on Woman Crush Wednesday is Jasmine, aka Jazzy Things Shay. Jazzy is amazing, and I'm so excited that she's our debut, our premiere, our first episode on this new segment. Here's the thing about Jazzy. Jazzy turned her love and passion of food not only into a successful business, but a lifestyle. And I know that many of us ignore our calling to do like the things that may take a little bit of risk in life. We ignore our calling because we're stuck in that safe zone. Well, Jazzy figured out a way to venture out of that zone and take it all the way to success. So I'm really excited because this is an amazing interview. I got to know Jazzy over the past year or so. She's the head coach in one of the in a coaching program that I'm in, the James Wedmore program. And she's really changed the way that I look at food. And she came here to do a personal session with me all around her business, which is separate from the coaching she does through my coaching program. I hired her for an intensive where it's like a VIP day where she flew out here to Charlotte. She grocery shopped with me. We went all over the supermarket and it was incredible because we were there and back with all of our groceries in the most ungodly amount of time. It was so short. It was like a New York minute that we went food shopping. It was crazy.
New York minute. See what you did there. Very nice.
And she, we got back, we cooked, we made meals. And in between eating and cooking and learning new things in the kitchen, she did these mindset activities with me that allowed me to have transformative breakthroughs. Did I say that word right?
You did.
Okay. That allowed me to have transformative breakthroughs all throughout the day. Like, that was so unexpected how many breakthroughs I actually did have in terms of pushing through my limits, just like she had pushed through hers. And I mean, do I need to say more about why I'm crushing on her? She is freaking amazing. She has literally changed my life in such an incredible way. So I'm so happy to share her with you guys today. Please help me welcome Jazzy Things. When did you first realize your love of food? I'm like dying to know.
You know, I've always loved food. That is a trait I've carried with me. I've just loved it in different ways. You know, growing up, my mom cooked quite a bit. So my love for food was very home cooking and a lot of emotions with the food. You know, when you eat a certain meal and you know you're home. So that's really what I associated with food then. But then if you ask me when I started to love food, if I was in college, it was the cheap fast food and really just with no attention to how I was feeling my body and what food really meant to me. But fast forward, I still love food just as much. I now just have a much different relationship with food and I place a lot more value on what I'm eating. So honestly, I've loved food always my whole life. And that really is how I got into the wellness space, is because I love food so much. But I saw all the stigmas and all the, these diets and the fad words and all these rules that people would attach to food, that I've made it my mission to change that, to say, hey, we can love food and we can love healthy food. And it doesn't have to be boring and confusing and overwhelming. So
this is probably bad, but when you say healthy food, my mind immediately goes to boring, like steamed vegetables and grilled chicken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
why is that?
Well, because it's the media. It's what we see out on social media. And actually, I would love to share my definition of healthy, because I think that'll set a really good preface of our conversation. So whenever I say the word healthy, and hopefully this empowers you listeners to potentially readjust your perception of healthy. So I like to look at health as a spectrum, if you will. So if we look at an invisible line, on the very far left side of that spectrum, we could use tomatoes, for example, or any ingredient. So tomatoes are on the far left side of the spectrum. Say the left side is growing your own organic tomatoes or raising your own chickens, if we're talking about chickens, which I used to raise cows, pigs, and turkeys. So that's not an unrealistic example. So the far left side, and as you move farther to the right on the spectrum, perhaps in the middle is buying store brand non-organic tomatoes. And then as you continue to move to the right side of the spectrum, you have canned tomatoes, and then you have frozen tomatoes or frozen chicken, if that's what we're talking about on the spectrum, which isn't just chicken. It often has some sodium and some water. So my definition of healthy is wherever you fall at on the spectrum that makes you feel good and that is sustainable for you. And for me, that definition really alleviates a lot of the rules we hear: only buy organic, only buy such and such brand. But when we recognize that healthy is really just about what works for us and where we fall at on the spectrum, that's what's sustainable. And I mean, isn't it healthier to pick somewhere on the spectrum than continue to make excuses and feel guilty and start over and over again, when instead we could have just selected where we fall and what works for us? So that's what I mean by healthy.
Yeah, no, that's super helpful. You mentioned these feelings of guilt and just like shame, I think a lot of people feel when they feel like, okay, I'm on a diet now and I'm going to lose weight, but then they go off the diet, so to speak. Or how do they reframe that and reposition their mindset so that they don't feel bad? Because sometimes when you're traveling, like for work, and you're a salesperson and you're on the road, it's not the easiest to eat what the norm thinks is healthy. So is that when your definition really falls into place?
Yeah. And that's where, you know, it's a work in progress and it's an opportunity really to identify where someone falls at on that healthy eating spectrum or that definition. So how I like to reframe that is ultimately identifying what is sustainable. If traveling and enjoying a donut or enjoying a particular restaurant while someone is in a different country that they want to experience, if that's what's sustainable for them, then that's my definition of healthy. So I feel it's really redefining what healthy means to someone, where it's you feel good and it's sustainable. But what we see in the media is that people define healthy by the actual foods that they're eating instead of how they're feeling about what they're eating.
Totally. So did you have this moment where you began to redefine what eating healthy was for you?
Yeah, I did, because I have experienced the extremes. I first started this as a passion and because I love food and I wanted to make healthy versions of food. And I started to implement that, but then I got into bodybuilding and I did that for a few years, which was absolutely an extreme. And it was really from those lessons and those opportunities that I said, this is not sustainable. This is not sustainable. So that's where I started to create this definition for myself, and that I share, is what can make me feel good and what can I maintain? So yes, I absolutely experienced that. And still to this day, I'm like, is this healthy? I mean, is this making me feel good? Is this something I can continue to do week after week, month after month? And kind of just a gut check, no pun intended.
I want to go into the definition of feel good because like, is it mentally? Is it physically? Let's go deeper on that.
Yeah. And I love that you bring that up because that's quite a subjective definition. Okay. Feel good. Of course, I don't want to feel bad.
Right.
And what I really encourage people to do is you can check in with yourself in multiple ways. It's both physically, but also mentally. And the mental side, the mindset perspective of feeling good is, are you feeling some type of negative emotion? Something that is telling you you're wrong or you're feeling that guilt. If you start to feel a negative emotion, then it's very clear that that's not sustainable. Because is that to say that there's no one on earth who actually enjoys the food they eat or has a sustainable lifestyle? That's not true. They exist. And it's likely because they know when they feel a negative emotion that something's off or there's something wrong and their approach likely isn't sustainable. But the physical signs are also very easy for us to check into. Are you feeling rested? How are you feeling during physical activity? Are you feeling creative? Are you feeling productive? And those are all indicators that I like to check into. And I know there's a direct correlation to how I'm eating. Am I more productive? Am I feeling stressed? Am I tired? Okay, so is my food supporting those goals and how's it making me feel? So yeah, I love that question.
It's interesting because I was eating very, very healthy for a couple of months, you know, very little sugar, just the what I felt was good for my body. Okay. Cause yeah, like you said, we all have different definitions of healthy. Mm-hmm. And recently I went off the bandwagon a little bit and all of the sudden after every meal, I'm so tired.
Yes.
I literally need a nap from eating. And I'm like, why is this happening? And then I realized, oh, well, like Chick-fil-A doesn't really make me feel my best. And it's good. It's delicious. I freaking love it. But afterwards, I feel like crap.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where I like to have those two indicators. Are you feeling good? And is it sustainable? Because once we start to find what is sustainable for us, we realize there's actually not even a bandwagon because it's not about being on and then off and then we fall off and then we got to get back on. You know what I mean? Like what does on even mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a process. It's a journey. It's about finding what works for you and finding the right resources. But that helps alleviate that guilt as well is, oh, I fell off. Now I feel guilty. And then it just spirals. So really checking in with how someone feels is a really good first step.
So you're talking about some major mindset shifts right now. This is not just like about what you're putting into your mouth and what you're eating, but it's really about your thoughts.
It is. And you know, that relates to anything. That relates to our food, that relates to how we're showing up in business, it relates to how we're showing up for ourselves. And I feel that's what's wrong with what we typically see in social media. And it's ironic that what I offer are weekly recipes, but it's so much more. The intention is to build confidence and show people how simple it can be. And recipes are just a vehicle. So yes, it is so much more than just our food. But when we look at it just as food, as good or bad, or when people start to put labels on the food, what that does is it disregards everything that's going on up here. So yes, absolutely. And that's really why I feel I'm here on earth, not to get too woo-woo, but
bring on the woo.
Yeah, bring on the woo. I know that I have a purpose because I see what works and that's what I'm here to spread. And it's, again, not just what we're eating, but how we feel about what we're eating. And again, that relates to everything. It's not just what we're doing in business. It's how we feel about what we're doing. Is it aligning with our values? Is it aligning on whatever spectrum we're creating and definitions we're creating for ourselves?
Hey, everybody. This is Gina Tremarco.
And Rachel Tipton.
And we are
Women Your Mother Warned You About,
the new podcast that does what?
Makes sales sexy again.
What's this podcast about, Rachel? It's a blend of best business practices and real life hacks, and it's filled with laughter, random chatter, practical advice, and some serious stuff.
It's not just for women, though, right?
No, it's a blend of best business practices and real life hacks for men and for women.
Listen to us on the Sell or Die Network,
womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com.
Listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Overcast, and anywhere that you can find podcasts. And
be sure to subscribe, comment, share our podcast, and give us a review. Tune in and listen to Women Your Mother Warned You About,
the podcast that makes sales sexy again.
You've been warned.
When did you realize that this mindset stuff was so important, and how did you develop the right mindset for it?
Oh, yeah, I like that. So my mindset is continually evolving, and it's definitely in a much different space than it was when I first even started, when I started doing cookbooks. And then I recognize that there is so much more to it. And I would say, so I first started doing cookbooks, and again, it was just purely about the recipes, and that's where my focus was. But then I realized that what good are the recipes if people aren't implementing them consistently, and if they aren't understanding the intention behind the ingredients? So that's when I personally, really from an outward focus of seeing others having to deal with a lot that's going on in their heads with these recipes, that's when I started to dive deeper into my own mindset. And if what relationship am I having with food that I'm seeing other people have? So that's really when I recognized there needed to be a change, because I knew if I didn't change internally, then I couldn't help others as well. So I'm deterring a little bit away from your question, but really for me, it's just about having an awareness. And I think it can be something as simple as someone listening to even what we're both saying of, oh, I should think more about what I'm actually eating. And it's really just about having the intention behind it, because we have to make food decisions every single day. And what I'm actually not saying is don't put it at the forefront of your mind so much that that's all you're thinking about. It's almost the opposite. It's giving yourself that grace and that permission. And that comes with mindset work, whether it's food or feeling guilty about really any decisions that we're making. So hopefully that answers your question a little bit.
So you're saying, like, the donut I've been thinking about all day, I should just go have, because I've been thinking about it for way too long now.
Well, honestly, that was a great perspective, because how much energy do we spend thinking about not doing something, right, versus doing it and then just moving on? And I shared a post. It was about Rice Krispie treats, and I took a picture of the ingredients in my cart, and I said, what's not healthy is avoiding the Rice Krispie treats, looking at other people enjoying the Rice Krispie treats and wondering why you can't enjoy a Rice Krispie treat, versus eating the dang Rice Krispie treat and moving on.
Well, how do you move on? Like, because what happens is sometimes I see people who eat the Rice Krispie treat and then they're mad at themselves afterwards because they did that. Like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Now I went off my diet. How am I ever going to lose weight? And, you know, then they're really hard on themselves.
Yes. And
I promise I'm speaking for a friend.
Well, it's a great point, because I'm not here to be the person who says, just eat the Rice Krispie treat, get over it, because just as we were talking about, there's so much more that goes on, and I get that. And I want to acknowledge that. And I'm not undermining how hard it may be for some people to just move on. You know, that's really not my intention. So how, in my opinion, and what I like to share and really embed, especially with your dinner is planned, is it's really about rewiring your brain. And when we talk about habits and we talk about rewiring our brain, that comes down to neuroscience. And I'm sure there's some experts out there listening. I'm far from a neuroscience expert, but I think we can all agree that when we start to show our subconscious these new decisions and creating a new reality in front of us, even if it's pertaining to food, that's when we can start to create evidence that we can make different decisions. So for me, again, I don't have a tangible answer of, well, you write down these three things and then you jump five times. it really is about creating evidence that you can do it. And it takes practice. So again, it's not go eat the donut, see how you feel, and then go eat another donut so you can keep practicing. But it's being aware and intentional about what we're implementing throughout the day, because then it just becomes a habit. And that's when we can start to think about it much less. Wait. So, oh yeah, go ahead.
Diehards, what Jazzy just said is gold. Search for that evidence. This is major because, okay, so right now we're talking about food, but let's go into selling, okay? I'm new at selling. I'm really upset because I've been making 100 calls every day this week and I'm not getting through. I'm not making any sales. So I suck at sales.
Yes.
So now what? Is there a way to rewire your brain to create, to stop thinking you suck at sales? And is that feeling or thinking that you suck at sales affecting your sales?
Exactly. And it's so relevant, especially to sales. And that's where it comes down to simply a perception and our beliefs, because you can look at it as a story. You're saying it's a failure. It's a failure because I didn't close these sales. I'm a failure because I ate this donut, versus what an opportunity for me to implement these learnings, be in tune with my emotions, be very aware of them, accept them, feel them, and see how I can improve. So it's really, there's two different routes to take with any scenario, and selling and eating, but creating that evidence, because I'm sure everyone can think back to the first sales call or sales conversation they had. And if it didn't go according to their goal, they may have felt some guilt and that they just weren't worthy of whatever. They weren't cut out for this. But I can almost guarantee, because when I do sales as well, my reaction now is much different than when it was after my first call that I didn't close.
For sure.
The evidence.
But you're saying find that evidence where you did make great sales. So even if, like, you're new to sales, if you were ever a kid in a candy store with your parents and you got them to get you that candy bar, you yes. made a sale.
Yes, I see which direction you're going, which exactly. So yes, for example, with donuts, we eat a donut and we feel guilty. You have evidence in your life. And I recall that you and I have had this conversation
yes.
before. We have evidence in our life where we ate a donut and didn't feel guilty, even if it was our 8-year-old selves. Yes. And I love that, because that also shows that we learned these things. We learned to feel guilty. You know, we didn't come out of the womb eating a donut and feeling guilty. We learned these things. Mm-hmm. So can you not just create evidence, but can you look for that evidence that already exists?
Wow. I love that. So, okay. We're talking about rewiring your brain, and I obviously am one of your followers on Instagram, along with many, many, many thousands of others. And you do these amazing things at you're at Jazzy Things, for those who want to go follow her right now. But you do these amazing reframes all the time. So can you talk about what those are and how you come up with them, and maybe give us an example?
Yeah, actually, I can even
pull one up
directly.
Yeah.
Because I have them on my highlights. So
cool.
How do I come up with these? I get inspired to think of the reframe by listening either to my own thoughts. And again, it's when I feel that negative emotion, which I've learned a lot from James Wedmore. I really want to attribute that there, because he's really taught me the meanings that we start to put behind certain emotions. So when I'm feeling a negative emotion, I know right there it's an opportunity for me to reframe. Or if I'm observing others, coaching others, and they have some type of negative emotion, there's some resistance against their higher self or whatever that higher being may be, there's some type of resistance that needs to be reframed. So for example, I'll pull one up.
Cool.
Let's see. I better choose the best one. Okay. So this one is, go from this. I didn't reach my goal. I'm a failure. And I wasted that time trying. To this, I didn't reach my goal. Therefore, I have received a lesson. To this, because I have received a lesson, I now have an opportunity. Because I have an opportunity, this means that pursuing my goal in the first place has progressed me forward.
Ooh.
So there's an example.
So the framework for those listening is basically, and correct me if I'm wrong, it sounds like it's take whatever negative emotion or feeling or thought you're having and write it down.
Yeah.
And absolutely. Then turn it into some sort of lesson, right? And identify and actually state, like, actually, instead of this being a negative thing, this is an opportunity. This is a lesson. This is something great. And yeah, then and is that how you do it?
Yeah, and I'll read another one too to give more context, because it's also about finding the truth. It's about finding the truth in that statement. So for example, this is totally different context. This will be good. Go from this. I have a big decision to make. This will change a lot of things for me. So I have to get this decision right. It's hard to handle this pressure. So that's an example where it's not necessarily feeling guilt or feeling a negative emotion necessarily. But I'll read that again. I have a big decision to make. This will change a lot of things for me. So I have to get this decision right. It's hard to handle this pressure. To this, what assumptions am I potentially making about this decision? What is actually true about the present? To this, now that I know what is true, I simply need to determine my very next step. And I know that nothing is permanent. Therefore, this is not a matter of choosing the right versus the wrong decision, but simply determining what I can do in this moment.
Wow. How do you know when to apply these throughout your day? Like, how can our diehards begin to apply these in their life?
Yeah. So I don't want to default to saying it's intuition, because I used to think, well, my intuition isn't very strong. How can I be a good coach, or how can I coach myself? How can I recognize these? But it's really becoming present to what isn't serving you. And as I mentioned, that can be a negative emotion. That can be something that feels heavy. We use a lot of those, what would it be, an adjective? Heavy, is that, that's an adjective?
Yeah.
We use a lot of adjectives to describe our emotions. And so when those aren't serving us, especially with eating or with sales or whatever it may be, that's an opportunity to reframe. Because why would we even want to continue forward? Our subconscious will not want to continue forward if something feels heavy or if we feel stuck. And again, I've learned a lot of this from James, which is a lot of neuro-linguistic programming, NLP. So saying we feel stuck, we're not actually stuck. Like, we're not physically cemented into the ground. We are choosing to feel stuck. We are having stuck thoughts, and we are not our thoughts. So to the diehards, when you feel an emotion or you're in an experience that isn't serving you, you feel you're choosing to feel stuck in some way or overwhelmed or whatever that may be, that's an opportunity for you to say, well, what is actually the truth? What am I perceiving about this? And see the opportunity to reframe that.
So I'm going to give you some examples of real life things we experience, and then maybe you can help our diehards reframe them.
All right.
So it's the end of the quarter and I didn't make my quota.
Okay.
Therefore, I feel embarrassed, ashamed to go home to my family, worried about my job.
Yeah.
Like job security. Now what?
Yeah. So what I would actually address there is the actual quota itself, because imagine if they were meeting their goal every single quarter. Would they have been stretched farther? So should they have set their goal lower? So my reframe for that would be, did you actually get farther than you would have without the quota? Did the quota actually set that bar higher for you and stretch you farther? So there's the other side of, well, you know, I didn't financially meet this and maybe I can't put food on the table, but the mindset and the perception of it is, okay, you didn't meet your goal. That's fantastic. If your goal was way out here and you got here, imagine if your goal was here and you did meet it, you wouldn't have closed that gap from that higher quota.
Okay, so you're talking about something we often talk about on this show, which is set your own goals. Don't just take the quota that your sales manager delivers to you because they threw a dart at the wall and determined that's what the sales they need you to make. But you also need to set your own goals. And so do you have a method for like setting goals? Because you're talking about different sets of goals. That's what I'm picking up on here.
Well, what I was really referring to with different sets of goals is if we are like right in the present moment, if we... I guess they can't see me, but we are right here, like right here. If we didn't set goals, we would remain right here. But if a quota or a goal or whatever it may be is way out here and we get, they can't see me, is 2 feet away from our bodies and we get a foot and a half, imagine if that goal would have only been a foot away and we would have only gone a foot farther. So it's kind of abstract. I guess I could have used numbers. If we set a goal of closing $100,000 in sales and we only, this would be easier, and we only reach $80,000, imagine if that goal or that quota would have been at 50,000 and we met it. Cool. You met your goal, but it was much less than what you would have hit with a higher goal. So I don't think it's a matter of not hitting the quota. I think it's a matter of what did you do along the way and what's everything you experienced in pursuit of that quota. And again, some people may be thinking, well, no, actually, it's pretty black and white. I need to hit my quotas.
But maybe that's an opportunity for them to think through, okay, what did I do this quarter and what should I be, could I be doing differently in the next one?
Yeah, absolutely. Because if our attention is only on I didn't meet the quota, that's where our attention will stay. And that's another opportunity with a reframe is to shift that attention. So, okay, our attention is on, I didn't meet the quota. I better look for the lessons and I better look at what to do differently. But if you continue to put the attention on what you didn't do, then how can you expect to put your attention on what you can do differently? And also, if it's not recognizing how far you did come, then how can someone expect to go farther if they're not even appreciating where they're at right now? You know, it's like this, it's again, creating that evidence for whatever we believe in, but if we can't appreciate where we're at right now, which is once where we wanted to be, then how can we expect to get more?
So don't focus on the fact that you didn't make the quota. Focus on the fact that you can make next month's quota and how.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And maybe that seems so simple or obvious, but it's so easy for us to default to not meeting a goal, to not meeting a quota. Imagine how much more powerful we could be if we did reframe that and look at it as an opportunity, because the fact that we didn't meet it is a fact. And right. I mean, that's what's so ironic is, yeah, I didn't meet it. Okay. Like that's a fact, but continuing to sit with that serves us in no way than if we reframe that and saw the opportunities and acknowledged what we did implement, the evidence we did create to get there. And that goes for sales, that goes for eating, that goes for everything.
So for those of you who don't know this, Jazzy came to Charlotte and spent the day with me here. It was amazing.
So fun.
And she coached me through a lot of mindset things that I wasn't even thinking were coming up in my own mind. But sometimes having that outside coach, outsider perspective, outside point of view is so helpful to really help you get to the next level. And one of the things we did was we went to the grocery store and we were there back and had shopped all of our grocery meals. I think it was like, what, 30 meals, 20
meals? Yeah, I think 30. Yeah, yeah. 30 meals. Yeah.
In like under 30 minutes. Literally, we had driven there, back, and collected all the stuff in the grocery store and paid and got back home. So you teach this in Your Dinner is Planned, like how to be most effective in the supermarket. And I know that a lot of our listeners are busy and have a million things going on. And grocery shopping and cooking never seem like they're going to go fast. So at least not to me. So tell me some of your tricks and strategies for making that happen.
Yeah. And these are a lot of areas that, as you listeners, you incredible, successful professionals, that sometimes we disregard how much streamlining an area of our life, like grocery shopping, can really free us up in so many other ways, free up our time, free up our energy, free up the dread we experience. So one major tip I have for grocery shopping, I mean, if ordering online is becoming very common now, so having a list, though, has to be the number one step. Having a list of what you need. And again, might seem so obvious, like, yeah, of course we need a grocery list, but having a list based on everything you are cooking for the week. And ultimately, that's what we do in Your Dinner is Planned, is we take the weekly menu, we segment it into a grocery list, but whether you have your dinners planned or whatever resource you're using, having a list and then categorizing the list. And that's what made the experience so quick for us, Jen, was knowing, okay, here's what I need from the produce section. Here's what I need from the meat section. And that's all that I need. Whatever these categories are is all that I need. So, because, yo, go ahead.
I think that most people write down their grocery list. I mean, I do this at least. And it's like, okay, I need these things. Like, I need pears and plums and strawberries and carrots. And they just go through their whole list and write it down. But they're not thinking about it in sections of the store.
Yeah.
And exactly. So what you did was, and what you do in your membership site, I think, is that you have it all laid out so that when a person goes in, they can just walk around the store and sort of like the, what's that, supermarket sweep, and get everything they need in one fell swoop.
Yes. And that, again, is a step that many people miss, but really it takes 60 extra seconds at home versus it takes even 10 extra minutes if you're on one side of the store, then you go to the other side of the store, then you got to go back. And not only is it taking time, it's taking extra money because you're picking up things you didn't need. You're buying things that go to waste. So categorizing it is one tip, a really big tip, having a list and then categorizing the list. Because if you think about it, 10 minutes, saving 10 to 15 minutes, if you go twice a week, I mean, that's 30 minutes a week. That's hours a month simply by categorizing your grocery list.
Wow. I love how strategic you are with it. And I didn't mean to get us off the biz convo because I liked where there was that was going, but it just popped back into my mind how much fun and quick and easy that was. And it was like not stressful at all, which to me, grocery shopping can get stressful because I'm like, I don't know if I'm forgetting anything and then I'm going to have to come back. And
well, so. And it's business related too, because that energy that you're spending thinking about your dang groceries, you guys, your zone of geniuses are my zone of genius is grocery lists and recipes. You don't need to spend the energy thinking about it. So that's why it's all so relative. And that's why my mission is so much bigger than just here are these recipes. It's about freeing up that space and that energy and that time so then we can pour more into our businesses.
I love that. So you do a lot of coaching, and both in the food health related area, but also in the business related area. And I'm curious to know, like, what are some of the most common things you see that are happening in the minds of entrepreneurs or salespeople where they're struggling, where some of our diehards might have similar issues and it could help them?
Yeah, I would say a big one I hear is I'm not an authority, or really the imposter syndrome of who am I to be doing this? And what I like to coach them through is, well, first of all, okay, so how will you know when you're an authority? And then it catches them because they say, well, I need a book. Okay. So how many books? Well, just one book. And so I would say, okay, so you're telling me no one can be an authority unless they have one book. So really just breaking down, like, we think we need to be at this certain level, but that level is invisible. We're creating that level. So it goes back to, you need X, Y, Z to become an authority. Do you really need all of those things to start helping people? Is it a matter of being an authority by definition or just helping people? And so that's what I would advise is, one, what the heck is your definition of an authority, or how will you know when you are qualified to do whatever it is you're doing? And sure, there's some black and white qualifications for certain jobs, but the imposter syndrome side or the authority figure side, we often completely make it up, and it's fear. It's keeping us safe. So we don't have to put ourselves out there. But then also, if your priority is helping people, then that starts to dissolve all these requirements that we're putting on ourselves.
Wow. Just wow. For our first episode of Women Crush Wednesday, Jazzy has now set the standard high. It's going to be hard to beat that. Damn, that was good. I loved it. I hope you loved it as much as I did. I want to talk about the concept of reframes, because Jazzy talked a lot about reframing things and reframing the thoughts in our mind and our belief system in order to get ourselves out of those negative feelings, in order to get ourselves unstuck. And so, you know, one of the best times, in my opinion, when you're in sales or selling or you're an entrepreneur, to think about using a reframe is when you feel like you're in a slump. So many people write to me or DM me and tell me like, Jen, I'm in a slump. How do I get out? What do I do? And that's the first thing is like, telling yourself you're in a slump is going to continue your slumpness. I just made up a word, but that's okay.
This is your show. You're supposed to make up these words.
It's going to continue your slump. So what could you say to yourself instead? How could you reframe it instead so that you can get yourself out of that slump? So what if you started to think, okay, up until today I was in a slump, or I used to be in a slump, but now I'm doing this, or here are the, and start thinking through the actions you're going to take and just start reframing those thoughts in your mind so that you can help yourself get unstuck. Because we all know that our thoughts create our reality. Our thoughts create our actions, and our actions create our reality. And so if your thoughts are creating actions that are going to help you continue that slump, well, that ain't so good, huh? So start creating thoughts. Maybe you need to write them down. Use the format that Jazzy gave to reframe it and create new thoughts and create new beliefs so that you can help yourself get unstuck.
One question, though, Jen. Have you used the reframe to get yourself unstuck recently?
Yeah, I use reframes all the time, like probably on a daily basis. I actually use reframes anytime I catch myself when I start thinking about something in a negative way, or I start, you know, when you go through that like shame spiral, like you're mad at yourself for doing something. And
this is me, of course. So.
And then you get mad at yourself for being mad at yourself. So like you can go down that spiral fast, or at least I can. And so what I do, I mean, I'm human too, guys. Like I'm not perfect. Okay. No one is. And so what I do is I literally in the morning, I write out my thoughts. And if I'm catching something that's negative, I take that and I literally like put a box around it and make an arrow to the next page where I then reframe it. And I start helping myself. It's like I become my own coach, just like you can do this too. Okay. And when you put it on paper, it's so much easier to see than when it's stuck in your head, because you can really say, okay, here's what I was thinking. How do I take that and make it a thought that can serve me, a thought that can help me, a thought that can help my career advance me or help my personal life, where whatever it may be. And so I use these all the time, and I highly recommend them. I mean, follow Jazzy on Instagram. We're going to put a link to her Instagram in the show notes. Follow her because she does a lot of amazing reframes. I think she even has a highlight reel, and they may spur some thinking for you about what you could reframe in your life. And now it's time. I'm going to bring the woo to sell or die. I've got this Oracle Cards guidebook. It's called Work Your Light by Rebecca Campbell, and an amazing artwork by Danielle Noel. And I'm going to pull a card, and then I'm going to read to you what Rebecca Campbell wrote as the meaning of that card. All right, the card is dance. Do something to shift your vibration. So I want you to think about that. When was the last time you danced? Was it like late last night? Was it this morning, getting yourself pumped up? Do you dance in the morning when you're getting ready for work? Let's read the card. Here we go. Life is always moving. If you resist this ever-changing flow, your energy will become stagnant and you will fall out of flow with the universe. The universe has a mysterious, intelligent force, a natural rhythmic beat, which governs all of life. One of the best ways to shift your energy, frequency, and vibration is to put on some music and dance along with it. When we dance unrestrained, our spirit takes over. And with each new bop, sway, and kick, we are rocked back into harmony with the rest of life. Get unstuck by doing something that shifts your vibration. Put on some music, dance unrestrained, and fall into the frequency of life. In doing so, your body will begin to learn how to be moved by your intuition, which is connected with this systematic beat. If dancing isn't your thing, then simply do something that you would not usually do to shift your energy. You cannot solve a problem with the same mind that created it, and you cannot attract a different experience without changing your energy first. That line is so important. I'm going to reread it. I really need you to hear this. You cannot solve a problem with the same mind that created it, and you cannot attract a different experience without changing your energy first. It's time to shift things up and to find a way to dance along with the beat of life. That means if you want to use these reframes, guys, if you want to actually start changing your thoughts, you got to shift your energy first. You got to be in the right mind space first. You got to get up and dance and then write that stuff down and then take time to really focus on your mindset. Now, here's the deal. Because this is our first woo-woo moment with these cards, I've invited Jeffrey here to talk through the card with me because I think some of you may like his input too. And so take a listen.
Jen was just talking about dancing and I got an aha. Everyone fights the word change. And in my opinion, and I've always called it, instead of change, I've always called it opportunity. Are you going to take advantage of the opportunity or are you going to gripe about the change? But the word moving can describe your entire life. Like, life is not changing, life is moving. And your job is to learn how to dance with the movement. Well, learn how to dance with the, show your rhythm, show that you've got it. Don't just sit there and go, well, I'm not doing anything, and you fold your arms and you go home.
Yeah, but here's, I totally agree with what you're saying. And I want to add to that because sometimes we get so stuck in our routine, so stuck in a rut almost, where you feel like you're making all these calls or you feel like you keep meeting with clients and the proposals aren't coming through and what if, the agreements aren't coming through. What if you shifted your energy before walking into those meetings? So for example, maybe you don't want to dance in the parking lot, but maybe you want to do 20 jumping jacks. Maybe you want to do 20 squats. Do something to get your energy flowing in a way that before you go on that next call or before you go into that next meeting with the customer, you are pumped up.
Jen has just given you an experience for the moment. I was more talking about the experience of life and how to get through it. You're moving all the time. Mm-hmm. You're moving from one job to the next. You're moving from one customer to the next. You're moving from one pay raise to the next. You're moving all the time. And if you have choices. When those barriers come up, when those differentiations of what's going on in the normal world come up, you can either bitch about it or you can flow with it. You can move with it.
That's why they say, like, go with the flow.
Who's the they?
I don't know, but that's what's been told. Like, well, are you a go at the flow kind of person or are you constantly resisting everything that's happening to you in life? I'm more like a flowy person because I just take what comes at me and I figure out a way to move with it and jive with it. And I'm dancing along with it in life. And I know that's like weird, like I'm literally dancing through life, but I feel like I am because I'm in the flow.
Let me give you a practical example. Men, look down at your shoes. If there's a place for a penny to be stuck in there, you need a new life. Ooh. I look at...
Those penny loafers?
Yeah.
Is that what you're referring to?
I see them all the time.
Oh.
Or those shoes with those little dingleberries.
But those are good dancing shoes.
Well, the bottom line is...
You could be enjoying that.
The bottom line is there's a fashion statement that you can make that's not... I bought penny loafers in high school. That would be 56 years ago.
I had penny loafers.
No, it's
in high
over.
School.
We used to actually put pennies in them, and then it became fashionable to put dimes in them.
I had penny loafers in middle school, correction.
God. But the bottom line is this. You have to look at what's new, and you have to look at how you're perceived by other people. Are you a fuddy-duddy? Are you a complainer? Or are you a person that moves?
But I think that the card brings up a good point because it's all about energy. Yeah. And how much attention, and I know that this is woo, but how much attention are you paying to your energy? Do you even know if you're high vibe or low vibe? Do you know what your vibe is? Do you know what kind of vibe of people you're attracting? Okay, this is talking about going with the flow, dancing with the movement, shifting your energy, but first you have to know what energy you have and really be self-aware to determine if your energy needs a shift.
or a kick in the ass?
Hell yeah, yeah.
Okay, so thank you very much for allowing me to interrupt here, Jen.
Yeah, no problem.
I'm turning it
all
back
right,
over
this is
to
Woman
you.
Crush Wednesday.
Bingo, and I'm out of here.
Well, thank you, Jeffrey, for showing up out of the blue to respond to the dancing card. I hope you are dancing through the day. Have a good one. Until next time, I'm Jen Glackow, and I'm reminding you to go crush it.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit sellordienetwork.com.